All right, well, good morning, everyone. So good to see
Have a good day.
everyone. Merry early Christmas to everyone. It's kind of a fun time of year. So really happy to see everyone. So glad that y'all chose to come to Main Street to worship God this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we approach your throne through Jesus' name. And just thank you for all of your goodness, all of your mercy, everything that you have shown us. Lord, just turn our hearts towards you. Help us to see you as beautiful, and just let the things of this earth become strangely dim and pale in comparison to how wonderful you are. Father, please help our study this morning. Let it be pleasing to you. And we ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Alrighty, so this morning we're going to be finishing up Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 37, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And this section deals with Jesus pronouncing some woes against the Pharisees and the lawyers. And I want to pick up here in verse 37. So Luke chapter 11, verse 37. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now the Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." Verse 42. "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers, also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent in the deeds of your fathers. For they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, also, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the keys of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those from entering.' As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say." And that's a pretty lengthy text, and we'll do our best to discuss as much as we can. Let's take a look at verse 1. So we read here that while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And we might say here that the Pharisee might have gotten a few brownie points, right? This is probably the only positive thing in the entire section. But if we really were to delve into this, we would probably find out that the Pharisee probably had bad motives to begin with, right? He was trying to call Jesus in so he could probably catch him at his words. And then we read here, right off the bat, Jesus does something to offend them, right? And it says, picking up in the middle of verse 37, "So he went in and reclined at table." Verse 38, "The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner." And we understand from the New Testament that the Pharisees, they had created all kinds of traditions and all kinds of customs, and they would be viewed as very legalistic. They were definitely Bible thumpers, but they tried to practice everything right down to the very last letter. And they added many of their own traditions to the Word of God, and this was one of their traditions, that it was required to wash before dining. And I might ask the question, why here did Jesus not wash his hands? Anybody have any thoughts? He could have easily just washed his hands, made the Pharisees happy, and there would have been no disturbance. But why do you think here he refused to obey the customs of the Pharisees? Okay, Lee says he's trying to make a point. What was that, sir? Yeah, so I think that's the big thing here. Jesus could have played it cool. He could have just gone about, their customs, could have washed his hands. But rather here we see he disobeys it on purpose, and he's going to make a point by it, right? He's going to use this as a teaching example to expose the hypocrisy in the Pharisees. Just thinking here just a little bit about, does anyone understand what it means to be legalistic? Does anybody understand what that term means? To do everything by the letter of the law. Okay, that would be part of it, right? And definitely, yeah, I think the focus here would be on outward religion, right? On practicing every little thing and being perfect outwardly, but meanwhile, of course, inside, you could be full of all kinds of, wickedness, as Jesus is saying here. And it's interesting that the legalist is quick to find the speck in someone else's eye, right? They're very quick to find the speck, while all the while ignoring the plank that is in their own eye. And so what Jesus is going to do in the following verses here is he's going to expose this plank that is in their eye, right? They're pointing a speck out in Jesus, which actually, wasn't even a sin. It was something that they had made up that he had done wrong. But he's going to use this to expose the true hypocrisy. I want us to consider a few verses here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Let's take a look at that. First Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So right, we have here in 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible is telling us to examine ourselves. And I think this is something that would be good to keep in mind as we read this section here, because this is something that the Pharisees, they were quick to examine Jesus, quick to examine others, but they failed to examine themselves. And I think this would also be one of the faults of someone who is legalistic, right? They fail to examine their own hearts. So let's look at verse 39. Back in Luke, it says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness.'" And right, that's kind of a neat little teaching example, a neat little parable that he gives. He compares the life of the Pharisees to that of a cup. And he says that just as, right, you might be able to see the outside of a cup, that it's completely clean, and at least to our eyes, we're not able to see the inside. We can be fooled by people who seemingly are clean on the outside, but all the while they are dirty on the inside. And just thinking about that example that Jesus gives, think about a dirty cup. A dirty cup is not going to be able to fulfill the purpose of the person who created it, right? You can't use a cup that's dirty, right? It's worthless. It's not able to fulfill its intended purpose. And in the same way, when we are simply clean on the outside and we're dirty on the inside, we're not able to fulfill the purpose which God has for us. It's kind of interesting to think about it that way. And so basically here, Jesus is saying that they've turned religion completely upside down. They've completely missed the point. And I want to point out three important scriptures that speak to this. The first being 1 Samuel 16:7. And it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance, or on his height, or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And then let's look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. It says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with your whole heart and with willing minds, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And then let's also consider the third one, Luke 16, verse 15. It says, "So he said to them, you're the ones who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized among men is detestable before God." And these three scriptures have a lot of similarities, right? They all speak to the fact that God views things a lot different than us, right? God has the ability to see within that cup. And from human perspective, right, we can only see the outside of the cup. And we can be amazed by that outward appearance, right? And we can glorify that appearance, but true religion, pure religion that is pleasing to God is that which is internal, right? God sees the heart, and He delights in those that are clean on the inside. So we see Jesus' frustration here in verse 40. Back in Luke 11, He says, "You fools, did not He who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." Right, and that's kind of a creative sentence that Jesus gives. What do y'all think about that? He says that we are to give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. Right? And the Pharisees, right, they were, as we read in verse 42, He says, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So, right, we see these Pharisees legalistically. They give exactly what God has told them to give outwardly, right? They give mint, they give rue, they give herbs. But all the while, they neglect to give alms from within, right? That's what God is truly requiring. And if we look at John chapter 5, 44, it says to us, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" And so, I see here the sin that the Pharisees are committing, right? What they're truly neglecting is the love of God, right? They're giving in order to glorify themselves, in order to seek glory and honor from men, but they have completely neglected seeking glory that comes from God. So they're committing the sin of being men-pleasers instead of seeking God. And I just want us to stop here for a second and just think about the absurdity, how foolish it is for us to try and please men. If we believe the Scripture, that we believe that men were created from dust and to dust they will return, if we're spending our lives trying to please men, it's like trying to please dust. Right? It's completely foolish, it's meaningless, it's vain, but yet that's what the world tells us to do. Spend your whole life trying to please men. And the whole concept of peer pressure, right, it's silly, right? The Bible is calling us to seek the glory that comes from God and not that which comes from men. And it's really silly to, if I was going to spend my time trying to please a man who's going to be dead in just a blink of an eye, right? How silly that would be, and how much greater would it be to please an eternal God where there would be a lasting reward from that and something that would be eternal. Let us also consider Romans chapter 2:29, and this is a very important scripture. I think just summarizes our entire discussion this morning. It says, "No, a man is a Jew because he is one inwardly." Right, so did you catch that? A Jew is not a Jew because of natural descent, because he's a descendant of Abraham, but rather he is one because of what is on the inside. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise does not come from men, but from God. Right? And that's hitting on the head the sin here of the Pharisees. Right? Their praise came from men. But a true Jew, right? A true worshiper of God who is circumcised in the heart by the Spirit, his praise comes from God Almighty. So, picking up here back in verse 43, back in chapter 11, it says, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves and people who walk over them without knowing it." And just from a little bit of background information, these seats in the synagogue, they would have been up front. And for instance, you can imagine there being chairs up here on this stage. That's what it's talking about when it says the Pharisees, they love these seats of honor, right? They would have faced everybody, and everybody would have been able to see them, right? Look at this righteous person. Look at this person who's clean on the outside. And they loved this, right? They loved the glory and the honor that came from men. And then, of course, they loved to be greeted in the marketplaces. And I'd like us just to consider, by contrast, think about God's prophets. How would we contrast them, right? They definitely did not like the best places, best seats in the synagogues, right? They were not all about receiving greetings in the marketplace. But by contrast, they were outcasts, right? They were despised. In many ways, they were a nuisance to society, right? They offended men, similar to what Jesus has done here. And I think that the more we're like Jesus, the more we will be like those men in Scripture that were persecuted instead of those that are man-pleasers and receive all of this honor from God. Now, this is kind of an interesting sentence. Let's see if we can break this down. Verse 44. He says, "Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." Anybody want to take a stab at what that might mean? Any thoughts? You're like unmarked graves. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. There's nothing there. So there's a couple possible meanings for what Jesus, perhaps what he means by this. One, he could be simply declaring that these Pharisees, they're spiritually dead, right? And just like an unmarked grave, you walk over it, you don't know it's there. In the same way, you walk by this Pharisee and you don't realize that he's actually dead, right? It's an unmarked grave. It's kind of interesting. Anybody else think of any other meanings here that Jesus might be pointing to? Craig? Okay. Shiny on the outside, but you, yeah, don't know what it's like on the inside. And that goes back to the cup example, right? We can see the outside, but truly on the inside there's death and there's wickedness, but God can see it, right? And they failed to examine themselves, right? Alan. Okay.
You're kind of dead.
Okay, so yeah, just viewing this as just a pronouncement that they are spiritually dead. Yeah. One other interesting idea here that was read in Kaufman's commentary, he points out that in Numbers in the 19th chapter, it talks about that any Jew that touches a grave will be ceremonially unclean. So it's kind of interesting to think about that. So if Jesus is calling them unmarked graves, that would mean that anyone that comes in contact with them would be ceremonially unclean. And isn't that interesting? Because at the very beginning of this chapter, people or the Pharisees are charging him with being ceremonially unclean, but then he wraps it up and is pronouncing them as being ceremonially unclean. I think that's kind of a neat way of looking at that, and definitely could be a reason for why he said that. And then also we see that the second group of people, the lawyers, they're about to chime in and give their two cents. So let's look at our next verse. Verse 45. It says, one of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." So potentially, if that's the meaning, the lawyers would have been threatened, right? Because Jesus would have said anybody who's associated with them is unclean. So the lawyers could have viewed this as a threat because they interacted with the Pharisees quite a bit. And the lawyers, these were the people who were in charge of giving interpretations of the Scriptures. If you wanted to know what the Scriptures meant, you would go and you would ask the lawyers. Jay. Okay, you're saying, what's that now? I think that is a word that can summarize this entire section. Yes, a hypocrite, absolutely. Someone who themselves is guilty of what they're claiming that other people are guilty of, right? And that's Jesus' whole argument, to expose their hypocrisy. And so now Jesus moves on to the lawyers. And he says, and he said, "Woe to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burden with one of your fingers." Right, and that's a really interesting example that he paints for us. And we can kind of imagine that. Somebody just giving someone all kinds of work to do, loading them down with all kinds of heavy things to carry, but them themselves not being willing to even lift one finger to help out with the load. Right, and that was his charge to these lawyers, right? These teachers of the law that they were, as we said earlier, they could easily point out the specks in other people's eyes, but they were not willing to obey God's laws, right? They were not willing to self-examine themselves. And I think that that is such an important principle when we come to the Scripture. It's so easy to make it about other people. It's so easy to talk about the people out in the world need to obey these things, but those true disciples of Christ and those truly godly people are those that apply the Scriptures to themselves, right? This was the sin of the Pharisees and the lawyers. So let's look here, a few minutes left, let's look at verse 46. And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses and consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those from entering." And as we said earlier, it's so easy to look back in history, for instance, and say, I can't believe those Jews, they were unbelieving, right? I can't believe they did not obey the Word of God. I can't believe that they killed the prophets, right? It's unthinkable that they would do these things, but I think the Scripture is calling us to look inward, right? Are we obeying the prophets ourselves? Would we be willing to receive them in our day? Because these people here, in the time of Jesus, their fathers had killed the prophets, but they themselves, acted like they had no part in this. But of course, they would kill the prophet of prophets, and they would prove that they were in fact the children of their fathers and guilty of even greater crimes. And because of that, they would be, the blood of all the prophets would be required from them. And they would be guilty for that. And of these teachers, it says that they had the keys of knowledge, right? The keys, for instance, of the kingdom of God, right? And they did not enter in themselves, but they hindered others from entering. And that is a sad, horrible travesty. Are there any any closing comments or thoughts or questions as we end this morning? Anybody have anything to say? Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a short break before our service. Father, we just come before you, and we thank you so very much for the Word of God that gives us such understanding. Please, dear Lord, help us not to be hypocrites. Help us not to be like the Pharisees and like the lawyers who practiced an outward religion, who were clean on the outside, who sought the glory and the honor that came from men, but rather, Lord, let us have hearts that are pure. Let us serve you with all of our heart, everything that is within us, and let us be pleasing to you. This is our prayer, and through Jesus, we pray. Amen.